Living with chronic pain is challenging, to say the least. Some days are manageable and others, well, not so much. Pain interferes with almost all activities, all plans, and all relationships. Aside from medications, is there anything else in the chronic pain toolbox? And how do you find meaning and purpose in life? Or can you? Stand by, Go Healthy for Good starts right now. Hello and welcome to Go Healthy for Good. Richard knows all too well the desperation and hopelessness that comes with chronic pain. Watch.
I was a building engineer for years, and we were retrofitting a shopping center, strip mall, into this huge shopping center. So we were completely redoing it. We were moving, trying to get some materials in before a storm came up. You know, and our guys needed help. So as an engineer, I wasn't actually supposed to be out there moving the materials, but I had to help them get these things in. So we grabbed this great big sheet of stainless steel and went to move it, and a flat line wind hit us, twisted me around while I had a hold of this, and severely injured my lower back to the point and then in a place where it couldn't be operated on. It was too dangerous. So I've been dealing with, that was in the mid-90s. Now I've been dealing with the chronic pain from that ever since. I've been through physical therapies, occupational therapies, various pain medicines, muscle relaxers, which did nothing, of course, because it wasn't a muscle. It was my spine that was injured. And from there, we went to I don't know how many specialists, back specialists and MRIs and just a myriad of doctors and things, and they all said the same thing, we can't do anything. Well, my limitations were I couldn't walk as far as I used to while I was very active, you know, guy like most guys are in their, you know, at that age, they're always doing something, you know, working something. But anyway, it messed up my ability to lift. I couldn't lift. To stand and sit for certain amounts of time, and really upsets you when, you know, that happens, because, and you know, there's nothing that's going to help you because you don't know any better.
On today's show, Sean is here to get us on the move. Chef Mark Anthony will share a new way to do an old trick. We'll hear more of Richard's story and meet the pain specialist who gave him his life back. But first, the news. Headlines today: opioids, give more, take more, anti-inflammatory foods, and opioids not optimal. It's not the pain, but rather the dose of opioid pills prescribed after surgery that's the strongest predictor of prolonged opioid use, according to a couple of recent studies. Researchers at the University of Michigan looked at data from almost 2,400 people who underwent surgery. They typically used only one quarter of the opioids initially prescribed, but for every 10 extra pills offered, they used five. Higher pain scores in the week after surgery was also linked to increased opioid use, but to a lesser extent. In another study, nearly 1.3 million opioid-naive patients with acute pain received opioid prescriptions. There was a direct relationship between the amount of opioids prescribed and ongoing opioid use. Regular use for 1 month significantly increased the chance of long-term use. So if you are given opioids for pain, be sure to use only what you need for as short a time as possible. A new study suggests that eating some broccoli or a handful of berries a day may help protect against heart disease. That's all it takes to get 500 milligrams of flavonoids, an anti-inflammatory phytochemical found in many fruits and veggies. Research by the University of Western Australia analysed data from nearly 53,000 people who'd participated in the long-running Danish Diet, Cancer and Health Study, which began in the 1990s. Over 23 years, more than one in four participants developed some sort of heart condition. Those consuming at least 500 milligrams of flavonoids a day had lower rates of cardiovascular disease. The reduction in risk was most pronounced in those who smoked and drank, although they needed to eat more than 500 milligrams a day to maximise their benefit from the flavonoids. In a head-to-head comparison of opioids versus non-opioids and musculoskeletal pain, non-opioids can hold their own. A recent study took 240 patients with poorly controlled back, hip, or knee pain and randomly assigned them to one of two treatments. One group received opioids like morphine, hydrocodone, oxycodone, and fentanyl. The other group got non-opioids such as acetaminophen, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, and topical analgesics. After 12 months, pain-related function was similar in both groups. Pain scores and side effects were significantly lower in the non-opioid group. In another study of 500 patients with musculoskeletal pain, the higher opioid use was found to be associated with greater pain intensity, poorer function, and lower quality of life. There was also less self-efficacy in managing the pain and greater fear avoidance and more healthcare utilization. So if you have musculoskeletal pain, remember, opioids are not your best choice. I'm Dr. Narendra McKibben, and that's today's health news. Today's guest is Dr. Palmer Mackay, a chronic pain specialist who established the amazing Integrative Pain Program at Eskenazi Health in Indianapolis almost 20 years ago. We met him in Indy to talk about chronic pain and how it happens.
Well, chronic pain is a condition that can start from innocuous, innocent injuries that never heals, never goes away. So people define it as a pain that persists for 4 to 6 months, such that the tissues normally would have healed, but they haven't healed in a way to relieve their pain. And there are millions and millions of people within the United States, well over 30 million people, who report chronic pain. And of that, a large proportion of them report moderate to severe pain.
So that really changes their lives. What are the most common causes?
Well, the most common causes that we see are probably the most common cause, which is low back pain. Then we have a large number of people with arthritis, or all these conditions are what I refer to as gray hair of the spine and the bones, that the natural aging process isn't as kind as we would like it to be. And so we get degenerative changes that if you're unlucky enough, you get to feel every bit of those. It's interesting, however, that a lot of people don't feel those arthritic changes, so that there are combinations of factors that play into the experience of pain, not simply that you have the demonstrable changes on x-ray, but rather changes in their nervous system, changes in their muscular structure, and changes in their mental health or psychological well-being that all contribute to their experience of chronic pain.
Yes, because being in chronic pain must take its toll on you emotionally, mentally.
Yeah, chronic pain has large, conceptualize it as having three domains that have varying degrees of overlap, like a Venn diagram. So there's the sensory discriminative, which is why they always say they're here. I'm here for my knee. Then there's the affective, emotional, and then the evaluative. And so how they think about pain, how they feel about pain, and what they feel of pain are all important in their total experience. And it's interesting, the areas that supervise those appreciations in the brain show changes in structure and function related to their expression, so that the evaluative component of the brain, the sensory discriminative, and the emotional also changes as they express those changes and kind of phenotypically feel those.
Tell us about the pain cycle.
One of the things that we use a lot in teaching, we don't need to teach our patients, but to share with them that we understand what they're going through, is that as you experience pain, you tend to withdraw. You tend to try to create a safer spot for you, a safer way of existing, which for many people means that they become more still. more idle. As they become more still, their muscles shorten, their joints stiffen, and so they become increasingly more reluctant to engage in those activities which previously gave them meaning or gave them health. Then, since we're kind of supposed to be used in order to get our energy and our emotions right, they become fatigued. Their emotions begin to sour. They lose hope. They lose energy. They tend not to feel as positive about things. They tend not to sleep as well. Then they tend not to fulfill their social and professional obligations. And that cycle gets ever larger so that as the pain cycle expands, their cycle of their life encloses. And it is in that experience that I say they become exiled from their life. They want to distance themselves from their body and from that life as far as they can. And our job is to repatriate them, to place them back into a life and into a body that they can feel comfortable in.
Big job for patients who have not been comfortable for months or years. More in the next segment, so stay with us. Though before the break, check this out.
Did you know that having a healthy breakfast is good for mental function, concentration, creativity, and even mood?
Well, I know that, and that's why I'm so committed to doing that very thing.
You are? What are you eating?
Ice cream flavored loopy sugars. Don't they look beautiful?
Well, that sounds healthy.
It must be because it tastes awesome. And the box says I'm getting 25% of my vitamins and my minerals for the day.
All naturally occurring, I'm sure.
It must be. Look at those beautiful fruity colors.
Colors, yes. Fruit, no. They've got numbers attached to them. Those are artificial colors.
Well, they can't be all that bad, can they?
Ooh, food dyes have been associated with irritability, aggression, learning disorders, hyperactivity, allergies, even cancer. And did you see? There are 3 teaspoons of sugar in that 1 bowl of cereal.
Is that enough?
Enough? That's enough to get diabetes.
Well, you're going to be proud of me. You know what? I've just decided to give up my loopy sugars.
Well, I am proud of you.
Thanks.
What about your other cereals?
Oh, don't you dare touch my cocoa sugars or my donut sugars that have 8 essential vitamins and minerals.
Don't worry, they're safe with me. Don't start your day with sugary, artificially colored processed cereals. Instead, fruit, whole grains, nuts, and even legumes make the best breakfast. Doctor's orders.
We're in the kitchen with Chef Mark Anthony, and something is smelling wonderful right now. Mark, what are you up to?
Waffles! It's a waffle day!
It's waffles!
Yes, and I made it easy. I made it easy for people to do waffles, and anybody can enjoy these because they're also gluten-free.
Serious?
Yes. I actually make them with oats.
So what else goes in them?
Well, here's the recipe right here. We've actually got 6 cups of soy milk and 6 cups of oats, and you can use the regular oats or the quick oats. We've got 1/4 cup of ground flaxseed, 1/4 cup of honey, 1 tablespoon of vanilla, 1 tablespoon of salt, and 1 tablespoon of cinnamon. Equal parts of oats and liquid. You mix them together and you can flavor it any way you want.
So you could take 3 cups and 3 cups or
6 cups and 6 cups.
Yep, right.
And as long as the liquid equals the actual oats, you're going to have it. Here's the other nice part about it. Let me check and see if this one's done yet. Oh, it's got about half a minute.
Smelling so good.
Because you could actually take equal parts of oats and orange juice or pineapple juice. Or you can make, there's just hundreds and hundreds of different variations. Okay.
Wow.
We're good. Let me share this with you. Grab that plate over there and we're going to see if I can get this out of here. This one's been going for a few minutes here already. And there you go.
He's got chef's hands. Did you see that?
Yeah, don't try this at home.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this a little spray. I didn't spray it on the last one. But let me share with you what we're going to do here because this is the,
see how thick it is? Yep.
And that's about the thickness you're looking for. And if you let it set a little while, sometimes it'll thicken up even more. Then you just add a little more liquid to it. And then you're just going to pour this in here.
You can just sort of wait until, if you've got a vortex, you're about right. If it's a vortex that goes all the way to the blade, it's a bit thin, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep. And so you can see how I kind of just barely get to the outside there. Do this, give it a flip. I like these type of waffle irons because it really gets those deep pockets.
So you better pause into your grooves.
But you can decorate it any way you want. I've got a whole bunch of ingredients there for you to decorate.
Are we going to go whipped cream and chocolate chip, or are we going to go berries?
Berries
for our eyes, right?
Go ahead. You can do it.
And then you can use oats that are gluten-free, or oats don't contain gluten, but they're often contaminated. So
it all depends. The processing factories sometimes will work the same type of thing in wheat. What we will do is freeze these.
Okay.
But what you have to do is you have to freeze them individually. And I'll take a sheet pan and then just freeze individual quick freeze, IQF. And then after they're frozen, then you can bag them together like this and see how they're still separated. Because if you take them like this and then just take them right in a baggie, which a lot of people do that, and they just kind of melt together, and then you have a lot of difficulty trying to pull them apart. So you just freeze them first, individual quick freeze, and then you can pull these out and cut them, put them right in the toaster, and in
minutes. That's what I love about this. When I have gluten-free patients, and they go, oh, I miss my bread. You don't need to miss your bread. You can make waffles.
Yeah, and this one is even out of oats. So
I've got to try this. I've got to try this. Are you indulging? No.
I'm all for it.
You can have the chocolate chip and whipped cream.
Like I said, the flavor.
That's so crunchy and yummy.
My wife made the topping. That's
it's so good. I just love that.
But as far as the waffles go, the flavor is where it's at. So if you want to go with this is more of the traditional, you know, vanilla and cinnamon. You can also do peanut butter and different. I mean, you can really get crazy with variations just once you know the equal parts.
You can put peanut butter in your waffles?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many things you can do.
Who would know?
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Mark. That's
there we go.
Great breakfast.
Easy.
Richard injured his lower back at work and went from being an engineer playing sport, hiking and fishing to being unemployed and barely able to walk. He spent years going to back specialists and found nothing worked. See what happened next. Watch.
I came here to Eskenazi Hospital and seen a Dr. Philip Foyez. And he said, well, we're going to have to put you on some kind of medication. He said, your pain level's off the chart. I said, I know, but I said, he says, what we're going to do, and so he put me on three pain pills a day. And then he asked me if I'd be interested in a program. And I said, sure, anything would make my life, quality of life better, anything. He said, okay. He said, so they signed me up with the Integrative Pain Program at Eskenazi with Dr. Mackay. And this guy's amazing. I mean, they took care of your diet, your questions, everything. But to get started, what they did when you first go into class, see, you got 5 weeks of classes, twice a week, 2.5 hours of class. First thing you do when you go in is they get you moving. And I liked it already. I said, you know, they lifting your feet up and down and get engaged, you know, and what's going on. Then they go into diet. And throughout the program, they go into, they tell you little things like you wouldn't know. You know, it's like on your diet, they'd say something like, did you know if you drink one Coke a day, that's 32 pounds of sugar a year? You know, things like that, just, you quit drinking Coke. And then your mental mind exercises. And they just keep going. And they keep attacking. And all these things I had questions about all this time that nobody helped me with, you know. Things, exercises I could actually do in my chair at home. I didn't have to go to a gym. You know, I didn't have to go to another occupational therapist or a physical therapist. You know, I mean, those are good places to go, you know, if you have the time. But, I mean, who has the time? So they showed me what to do if you don't have the time, you know, to go to those classes. And they changed my medicine from what Dr. Foyez had me on, because apparently different people process medications differently. Like they had me on this one medicine and it wasn't helping me. So they put me on this other one. Well, I guess your liver process, everybody's different. My liver processed this medication differently. And instead of taking 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 of this one a day, I was only taking 2. You know, I thought, great. And I didn't feel lethargic, you know.
And we have Richard's doctor on the show today. Dr. Mackay is the director and co-founder of the Integrative Pain Program at Eskenazi Health. Here he explains this life-changing program.
Well, our program is in its current iteration now, which we have been attempting to evolve into a quality program for 18 to 19 years. And the current manifestation of that is that we focus a great deal on participation, education, and engagement. So we invite people in for a 5-week program. It meets twice a week, 90 minutes each session. And in those sessions, we provide education, we provide kinetic experiences that it is possible to use their bodies in ways where their life doesn't fall apart. And it is possible to sit and become more comfortable even with the pain. And so we provide the education about what chronic pain is. We actually use a illustration from Australia to help with that. We use inspirational stories. So we have a video that's called Never Give Up that we use. Then we do a graduated exercise regimen over that 5 weeks. We do a graduated mind-body intervention, going from simple diaphragmatic breathing, relaxation response, guided imagery, progressive muscle relaxation, all the way to mindfulness-based practice. And we have content domains, so how to approach sleep, how to approach medication use, how to approach setting up goals and habits, how one occupies your time. So it's a really great piece that is offered by our occupational therapists, not to give them therapy, but to say, how does your day occupy in meaningful and important ways to you? And then we have pods of practice. So we have nutrition content, then we have food giveaways. So we have plant-based foods that we offer our group every so often. Sometimes we have snacks for them almost every class, but we always have a cooking demonstration where our lifestyle coach comes in and provides that. Then we do chair yoga, we do Tai Chi, so that we offer them things that they can taste, that they can feel, that they can smell, and that they can kind of lose their suffering in for a moment. And it's really interesting to see that one of the terms we use, it's like Oliver Sacks' The Awakening. When you see people that are 65 all of a sudden remember that they love to dance and they can dance, maybe not the way they did when they were 20, but they can. Or the fact that even though they've been in chronic pain for 5 years and have had 3 surgeries, that when we lead the martial arts section, that they can do Tai Chi and they can even learn how to punch. So that it is fun, it is educational, it's multidimensional, but it is really focused on their participation and engagement to get as much out of it as they possibly can.
And how do you keep them in the program for 5 weeks?
Chains. Yeah.
There's no
option. They're bound. We are bound and determined to help them. So initially, when we started, everybody who came in was on a hefty dose of opioids. And the only way that they... their understanding was the only way they could ever keep them was to play with us, which of course wasn't the truth, but that's what their providers told them, that they would be cut off unless they went to the pain program. And it was probably an inaccurate deception, but effective.
Right.
And so we had a number of people coming in who needed to be there. Now, many of the providers do a similar thing in saying that I never use opioids. If you want any opportunity to have opioids, you would have to go to the pain program. So that's one thing that people say. We also get people that are referred on very high doses, and those people do have to see us and see us soon so we can try to adjust their care to a safer level. But what we have found is if you can engage them, if you can make them smile, and our counselor and behavioralist can get them to sit for a moment with their breath and settle in and realize that parts of their life and parts of their body are in good shape. And how can we improve that and really accentuate that in the day? And then de-emphasize some of the things that are really annoying to them.
So you've obviously got a lot of providers. What is the makeup of your team?
So this is the interesting thing is people say, oh, we could never afford to have a program like that. We're basically on a voluntary basis. And what we've done is tapped into the potential that we all have. And that's what I really love about our program. We have our MAs, our medical assistants, our lifestyle coach, our nurse, our counselor, behavioralist, nurse practitioner, and myself. That's who makes up the team. But then we import talent. So we import peer advocates, individuals who have been through the program, seen its benefits, had something of a transformational experience, and they can come back and share it with them. And then we have a pharmacist who comes in for a talk, and we have an occupational therapist who I alluded to, and then a physical therapist, all singing the same song in different voices. And so that we effectively have a choir rather than a single voice. And it helps to de-emphasize the what I call the medicalization of chronic pain, because we have oversold what we can offer at the altar of medicine. And we really need to reinstill that nidus of control. And so with those various elements, all of them are saying in one voice or another, you have the power to feel better, and we can walk with you. We can share with you our ideas and practices that have helped these other people. And we try to only provide things which really offer an evidence-based background or foundation.
And that scientific basis makes it effective. One component in pain control is managing stress. So consider this. I have the privilege of living by a pond. In the worst of weather, it's still beautiful, but on a still morning, it's at its best, reflecting everything around it. And you know, life has more beauty when we take time to reflect. It's something we should do at the edges of every day. We can unscramble our busyness, calm our emotions, and focus our thoughts. That helps us consider our day. Did you know that reflection is essential for spiritual growth? Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." We've all had moments in our lives when we long to hear God's voice, to know His will or to feel His guiding presence, perhaps to experience His perfect peace. In a devotional book called Desire of Ages, it reads, "When every other voice is hushed, and in quietness we wait before Him, the silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God." So hush the clamor. Wait in the stillness. You will hear His voice. The effectiveness of our heart and our lungs in pushing oxygen to every corner of our brains and our bodies depends on how strong and active we are. So what's going to push your oxygen today? Sean, what have you got?
We're going to push the oxygen today.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So we're going to call this like lungs to lunges, all right? We're going to be working it. You're going to feel your heart rate up, very cardiovascular intensive. I really want people to get into the habit of thinking about the space and turning whatever space you have into your own personal gym. All right, if you have a hallway, if you have an open space, you can do this workout. Get a piece of tape, do about, 10 feet of space, and that's all you need for today's workout.
And it could be outdoors too, okay?
It could be outdoors too. That's even better. If you can get outside and get that oxygen, that's perfect. So we're going to take one of the exercises that we've done and turn it into a dynamic warm-up for today. Your skater. But your skater going left to right. Think about yourself jumping over a puddle of water. You don't want to get your new sneakers wet, so you got to get over the puddle, okay?
Oh, wow. There's a good challenge.
There you go. Don't mess up those sneakers. Take a nice deep breath. The skaters are a great exercise because it works up your toes, it works your ankles, gets your blood pumping, and you gotta slow it down a little bit to really have control of yourself.
And your bones.
There you go. There you go. 3, 2, and 1. Sometimes we don't have enough fun, right?
Right, right. I love those. Those are one of my
all right.
fun.
3 exercises today. All right. I want you to do them for 60 seconds each, okay? Remember I said about putting that marker on the floor
right.
here? There.
Yep.
You're gonna set your timer for 60 seconds and you're gonna do a walking lunge for 60 seconds. There you go. Keep it going all the way till you get to that marker, about face, and continue going back again. You do not stop until that timer goes off, all right? You're walking lunges. This is a great movement to just keep you going, get that heart pumping as much as possible, all right? My timer goes off in 3, 2, and 1. Exercise number 2, after your legs are on fire, taking no rest, I want you to squat down, point your toes forward, look forward, and side shuffle all the way from marker 1 to marker 2. Your goal is to not stand up. Come on, stay low, stay low, stay low, stay low. Yep, keep on going for that entire minute. Keep the toes pointed forward. Challenge yourself. If you want to stand up, I challenge you not to. Come on, keep it going. Come on.
I want to stand up.
No, don't. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Come on.
I'm gonna go back.
And 1. Nice. Nice work.
That's nice.
Exercise number 3, right? We're gonna take away the rest, the thought of resting, and we're gonna skip all the way from one marker to the next. Again, keeping an eye on that 60-second mark. Get those knees up, use those arms. Now remember in our warm-up, we did the skater.
Yes.
Where we were pushing off of our ankle, our toes, warming
right.
up our ankles. This is the same thing. Now we're going forward.
Uh-huh.
This is your dynamic way of challenging your body to come out that comfort zone a little bit, okay?
Yep, we're there. We're there.
There you go. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Okay, so 3 exercises, okay? You have your walking lunges, traveling from distance to distance. You had your side shuffles, traveling different direction. And then you have your skips, all right? Nice and easy, 30 seconds each. At the end, do me a favor. Try your best, right? Or tell anyone, try your best. 1 minute of rest only. When that timer goes off, you start it right back up again. Try to do that entire circuit about 4 to 5 times. You would have an amazing time, all right? There you go.
Okay.
All right, so let's open up these hips. Now that we've worked it all, the hips may get a little bit tight. Legs are here. We're gonna push forward, all right? Allowing our hips to open up a bit. Looking up. Breathe. Come back. I want you to point the toes up. Reach for the toe. And you'll feel a nice stretch in your hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
Bring that leg back. Bring the other leg forward. We're gonna start like we did before. Go forward, open up the hip. Take a nice deep breath. Point the toe up. Reach forward. Stretching that hamstring. Getting a good stretch from the muscles we typically don't stretch. Bring it back. Lunge position. We're good at it now because we did a minute of lunging. Shake out those legs and we are done.
Woo. Thanks, Sean.
You're very welcome.
A study of Californian school children found some startling evidence. Children who consumed full-fat dairy products were at a much higher risk of being obese. Alarmingly, the children who consumed the most full-fat dairy products were 99% more likely to be overweight than those who consumed little or none. Choosing low-fat dairy options or non-dairy alternatives like soy or almond milk may go a long way towards resolving childhood obesity. Avoiding full-fat dairy is another ageless advantage.
I love to hear from you, so keep sending your questions in. Here's one about thyroid disease. Are there any natural treatments for Hashimoto's disease? Now, Hashimoto's is a funny name, but it's an autoimmune disease of the thyroid. That means the immune system attacks the thyroid. You get antibodies to it, and it will actually destroy the thyroid, so function falls over time. It can happen over years. and you end up with hypothyroidism or an underactive thyroid. Your doctor can measure the levels of thyroid antibodies, and you can actually learn that it's coming down the track by seeing that you have got high levels of antibodies before it actually starts to cause hypothyroidism. Some people find that eliminating gluten or dairy can actually reduce their levels of antibodies. It's like there's a cross reaction. The antibody sees the gluten and builds up, and then at the same time it will lock onto the thyroid. And so that's sort of how that cross linkage happens. And so as you eliminate the trigger, which might be the gluten, the dairy, some other food, you can reduce your levels of antibodies, and you can actually see that it's making a difference to your antibody level, and you can know that you're actually slowing down your thyroid destruction. Here's the next question. Jenny says, is there a correlation between fibromyalgia and diet? Well, some people may not know what fibromyalgia is, but it's a disorder with musculoskeletal pain along with fatigue, sleep disorders, memory problems, mood issues, depression, anxiety, those sorts of things. Now, research suggests that with fibromyalgia, the brain is actually playing tricks with you. It's amplifying painful sensations. It can be triggered, that whole process can just be triggered by an event like trauma, surgery, infection. For a lot of people, it starts with glandular fever or Epstein-Barr virus, or just a stressful event. Chronic stress can actually trigger that fibromyalgia and that brain amplification problem. So what you need to do is sort of speak back to your brain. Relaxation can help. Massage. It can be painful, so it needs to be very light massage, and you can build that up slowly. Deep breathing exercises for calming and relaxation. Good sleep habits are really important. So even if you're not sleeping, at least lie in bed. You get about a third as much of the benefit by simply lying there, even if you're awake. Learning to pace yourself and managing stress, they're all important. Believe it or not, although you've got the musculoskeletal pain, exercise is helpful. Definitely been proven with research to actually improve the symptoms of fibromyalgia. You just have to go slowly and just pace yourself. But start by stretching and then just do it gradually and regularly. Start with walking and then build up maybe cycling with its low impact, swimming with low impact. And then limit caffeine and eat a healthy diet. So lots of lifestyle diseases that you can do for fibromyalgia. Here's our next question. Tina asks, I have a blockage in my artery. What can I do to improve it? You know, there is clear evidence that a very low-fat, whole food, plant-based diet will reverse atherosclerotic arterial disease, if that's the kind of arterial disease that you have. It's the most common. Now, Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn's program, Forks Over Knives, does it. There's Dr. Dean Ornish's program that's proven to do this. CHIP also does this. There's Dr. Neil Barnard's or Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. They also run a program online. 21-day kickstart starts on the first day of every month, and it's free. So lots of different ways that you can get into this kind of program, but it is a very strict program. And because this is a very serious issue. So I would encourage you to lock on to one of those, Tina, and really deal with this issue. Thanks for those questions. Great questions. Remember, you can contact us. You can leave your question on our phone number, text, email, or website, Facebook, and you can become part of our Facebook community and get little health tips and videos to watch. Now, let's head down to the store. The blackberry grows wild and can be a nasty weed with all those thorns, but it produces such sweet, delicious berries. We're not the only ones that like eating blackberries. So do the birds, the badgers, and even the red fox. And deer enjoy grazing on their leaves. You can see from the dark, rich colour of the berries, there are lots of polyphenols like anthocyanins, quercetin, salicylic acid, and ellagic acid. They contain a good amount of soluble fiber. And with all the antioxidants, they are good for the heart and also for the brain. In fact, they are the top antioxidant food in the United States. Their seeds are even nutritious, containing omega-3 and omega-6 fats, as well as some protein and carotenoids. A whole cup only contains 60 calories. Don't cook them, just eat them raw. Bon appetit. Dr. Palmer Mackay is our guest today as we explore the many facets of managing chronic pain. In the first segment, he mentioned cooking demonstrations in their program. I asked him what nutrition has to do with pain, and particularly the emphasis on plant-based eating.
Well, the majority of our people are lifestyle sufferers, that they are experiencing a lack of quality of life because, for whatever reason, the attention to lifestyle medicine factors has not been foremost in their mind. And part of it is, you know, cultural. They're not raised up in a way of thinking that animals harm your health, or that milk is bad. How could milk be bad when the pediatricians force it on us every day? And that is one of the most mind-altering aspects of our program, because the individuals really aren't accustomed to thinking of some of these food sources that they attribute celebrations, love, and health to as being harmful. And to slowly extract that misinformation from them and then provide them what we consider to be a more truthful, scientific-based approach to what nutrition is really a challenge. Just yesterday, I saw a woman who works full-time but can't shop, so she rides the cart around. She has sleep apnea. She used to weigh 140 pounds. Now she weighs over 270 pounds. She has terrible depression. She eats terribly. She doesn't exercise anymore. And outside of going to work and occasionally seeing her grandchildren, she doesn't have a connection or a purpose. And so she was very open, because she knew that, you know, the Januvia she was taking for her diabetes wasn't going to cure her, and that she needed to make some changes. But how do you make those changes?
So by introducing plant-based eating, you're treating all of these side issues, the diabetes, the weight, the
blood pressure, in addition to the inflammation. So we have some people who come in with inflammatory arthritis who do not want to engage in the biologic and what we, the disease-modifying agents, because of the perception that they have that they would be ultimately more harmful than helpful.
Right.
And so we treat those with a plant-based, high anti-inflammatory nutrition scheme, and then with acupuncture and attention to the meaningful aspects of their life.
Now, you mentioned the sleep piece. It's very hard to sleep when you have chronic pain, yet you're saying the sleep is important for pain relief. So
right.
How do you break that cycle?
The less you sleep, the more anxious you are, the more pain that you will experience. And there are good evidence data points that if you look at it from a cognitive and behavioral standpoint, you can deconstruct the negative idea that I can only fall asleep with my television. I need to look at my phone. I can't sleep without knowing the news. All those things that people think, which are the exact things that are keeping them up with a full spectrum light and the anxiety over the news events. And so to deconstruct those and then to reinforce the positives and do sleep restriction and stimulus control and sleep hygiene, all those things, so that they can gradually begin to sleep better. My son, when he converted to plant-based, he has a problem with waking, and he has chronic pain. He's had multiple surgeries. But when he converted to plant-based, he slept on average about 30 minutes more a night in a consolidated fashion. So when he woke up more refreshed, getting more sleep, and then was no longer anxious about not getting his sleep. And so we want to intervene with that. And, you know, when you don't have indigestion from eating a pound of ribs and French fries in lard at night, it's a little bit easier to catch your breath and sleep.
Now, you mentioned that some people come in on opiates or with high doses of opiates. Mm-hmm. So how do you manage the medication side of things?
Then there's the truth is that if they come in on 200 milligrams of morphine and they're not exercising, their life stinks, they have sleep apnea, they're hypogonadal, as one psychiatrist I used to work with used to say, how's that working for you? Right? There's the undeniable evidence that were that the answer, you wouldn't be here because your life would be filled. You'd be beautifully functioning. And what we have found over the years is so few people are helped with opioids that it doesn't really make sense. It's not a justifiable position to trial opioids in everybody any longer. In fact, one of our old colleagues, Dr. Krebs et al., published the SPACE trial just this spring, where they compared two populations with severe, moderate to severe spine, hip, and knee arthritis. Two groups, one group that was raised up to 100 milliequivalents of morphine a day, or another group that had a tiered structure of Tylenol, ibuprofen, gabapentin, duloxetine, and some tramadol, and followed them for a year. At the end of that year, the group that did the best was the group who did not receive the 100 milligrams of morphine a day. They had less pain and less interference. There are other studies that show the quality of life domains with the SF-36. So how much pain do you have? What is your general health? What's your physical functioning? What's your vitality? What's your ability to emotionally engage? There are eight different ones. In each domain, the group that took scheduled strong opioids scored worse. In fact, ultimately the damning factor is that in 2000, if you were started on scheduled opioids, you were four times less likely to recover. So the very thing that we thought was helping people, now going back to the chains, were the chains that bind them into their pain and their exile. And so we view it as a worthwhile fight, because if we can cut those chains, they can escape the bondage and really get back into their life in more meaningful and less painful ways.
Wow. It reminds me of releasing the captives and letting the oppressed go free. Coming right up, more from Dr. Mackay in the last segments. Stay with us. Richard severely injured his lower back at work. He became a chronic pain patient, frustrated that the quality of his life had gone from go to woe overnight. His life was crippled until he found the Integrative Pain Program at Eskenazi Health in Indianapolis. Watch.
They also helped me with my blood pressure medicine. Because the other one made me feel nauseous in the morning, so Dr. Mackay changed that for me. I didn't have to wait to see a neurologist and all this. And his nurse practitioner, I told her I was having trouble feeling things. I had no idea that was carpal tunnel. And she got me these things I put on my wrist I sleep with. Now, it didn't get any better, but it didn't get any worse. So that's the main thing. And I didn't have to have surgery. So this integrated pain program, they help you with every aspect of your life, not just your pain. And they have the social worker, Kathy Scott. She sees you every time you go, you know, and she's just the sweetest lady. She'll help you through anything. Because like I told you earlier, I get nervous when I go to the doctor. I don't know why, I just always have. But she'd calm you down, and you know, the doctor would come in, and they take your blood test, too, to make sure everything's going right. They got my vitamin D was low. They took care of that. I mean, like I said, this is not just a pain program. They're like a whole life program. They had to have these programs at every hospital and address people with real chronic pain. Now, if you don't have real chronic pain, you're not going to want to go to this. And you could tell that people in that one class I was in, they're looking down, playing with their phones. They're not hurting. If you were really hurting in chronic pain, you'd pay attention to what they're saying because you want to know. You want to get better, you know. And these people will take you all the way if you let them. But you got to do what they ask you. You got to show up to your appointment sometime. You got to do the exercises they're telling you to, and you got to take the medicine as directed, period. They don't ask that much, you know, and in return, they help you with everything.
And that's a good description of holistic and integrative healthcare. And we have the privilege of hearing from its co-founder today, Dr. Palmer Mackay. We've saved a vital part of the program till last. I asked Dr. Mackay to explain why exercise is so important in managing pain.
One of the things that the people all of us have when we have an injury is we have the apprehension about moving that injured area, that hurt. And pain ultimately is like the potential for harm, the perception that something is damaging you. And so if every time you step it hurts, it's natural for many people to feel that and their stress level goes up. One of the things that happens then is you get these aberrant signals that even innocent behaviors, innocent motions begin to be transmitted as pain, as harm, as alarm. And we want to de-emphasize that. So simple motions where that they can enjoy and laugh. And that's where our team, our MA and our lifestyle coach make the exercise fun so that they become less fearful because they're laughing, because they're enjoying it, because it's in a group. And so that's the other thing that we offer. It's a group event. If you're feeling real down, you can actually tap in to the energy of those people around you and come up and realize that, well, I can stand up and I can do this. And the sun will rise tomorrow even though I exercised. And as you do that, right, they can learn to relax a little bit better. As you increase your exercise capacity, your pain levels generally go down as long as it's done in a graduated and intelligent manner. Your sleep will improve, your frustrations and anxieties can go down, and you become more stable. And again, we always link what we're doing to the evidence and their benefit. So if you, say, give up 10 minutes of being sedentary a day, and in place of that sedentary behavior, put in 10 minutes of moderate activity, your knee arthritis pain gets better, and the degree to which it interferes with you gets better. Our counselor tells a story of just the ability to rise up from a chair independently is predictive of maintaining your independence. And so we tie that to the exercise where we have people rise up without using their arms. And so you put these very kind of concrete benefits to what they fear, and they can see that it's worth the effort. And we emphasize range of motion, strength, and aerobics. And then we go into the detail of, you know, if you exercise 30 minutes five times a week, how much breast cancer gets reduced, how much colon cancer gets reduced, how much diabetes gets reduced, coronary events and strokes. And then, oh, by the way, your pain gets better too. And it runs completely contrary to what they've been thinking about what they've experienced.
But because their lives have been focused on the pain, you mean?
Focused on the pain.
Thinking about all the other.
And avoiding the pain. Right. And so what we're saying is that I asked them to revisit their teenage years when they would play a game of basketball and be really sore, or train for football and be really sore and brag about how much pain they're in because all the progress they are making. And to really think of that, in order to get better, in order to reclaim that which you have lost, it isn't a painless proposition. One of the cartoons I show is this gentleman at a jewelry store, and he's overlooking these beautiful rings. And he looks up, he goes, "Those are beautiful. What can I get for free?" And what I try to get across is whether it's the idea, because some of our ideas are quite challenging to people, that you can get better. Well, are you saying it's all in my head?
That's commonly said.
And then,
yes.
What do you mean I can walk? If I could walk, I'd be walking. And to deconstruct all these things, that it becomes eventually a self-fulfilling prophecy for them. If I could do it, I would. I can't do it. And then they don't do it for a month. Then they get up and do an hour's work. And then they crash because they've overdone it. And so we talk about pacing and framing the exercise and, again, trying to provide tools along the way so that these aren't huge leaps. These are individual steps and steps that everybody can make. And we have people who look as healthy as you, and we have people with bilateral amputees in a wheelchair, people in a wheelchair with leg braces. When I teach the martial arts part, I'll have some people that are motivated lift up their legs and kick like this with me because it just feels good to them. And they rediscover the joy of movement, the joy of expanding rather than contracting.
There there is joy in movement. So if you have chronic pain, embark on a graduated exercise program. Soon you'll be finding that joy. Make the most of any opportunity to join a pain program. Educate yourself about pain in general and your pain in particular. Do cognitive behavioral therapy for the pain and also for the insomnia. Eat more plants and fewer animals to reverse the weight gain, diabetes and inflammation. Be grateful for every day for what you still have or for the small gains that you make along your journey. That's all for me today. Thanks for joining us on Go Healthy for Good. I'll see you next time.